Just before the service began, Prince Harry laid a wreath of flowers, white flowers, at the memorial to innocent victims, which has been outside the west front of the Abbey for the past 20 years, and so many people have been commemorated there. And in a few minutes' time, following the anthem to be sung by the choir, we shall witness an act of solemn commemoration of the 31 people from all parts of this United Kingdom who died in terrorist attacks in Tunisia last year. 31 candles, representing each of those whose lives were cruelly taken from them on the 18th of March and the 26th of June, will be carried in silence by close relations or friends of those who died from the grave of the unknown warrior just inside the west door of the Abbey. The candles will each be placed on the high altar. In this act of remembrance, we should commend to the love and care of Almighty God those who have died and whom still we love. Let us remember alongside them those of other nationalities who died on those days, and those who were injured, and all who still suffer as a result of the trauma of those days. And we should also give thanks for the people who helped the victims. For the people who were there, this commemoration will call vividly to mind the experience of those days, as Frank has already said. Those of us who were not there can have little real understanding of the horror of it. But it seems to have been so random. One was taken, another left. The Telegraph reported that a young blonde woman in a white bikini walked alone through the stretch of sand. One by one, she placed red and white roses in a floral tribute on an overturned sun lounger with a written message in English and German that simply read, "Why? Warum? Why?" That's the one question that remains when all the other questions have been answered. Why? The security services may have clear answers as to how particular people have been chosen to make the attacks, how they'd be trained and prepared, who'd done the planning, who decided on Tunisia. But the question why is harder. Why did these particular events happen on these particular days to these particular people and not to others? And why did others escape and not those who died? Why is the inevitable question when seemingly random things happen? It ranges from the trivial to the profound. Why did I forget my keys? Why didn't I smell the gas? Why did I fall for a liar? Why was she born with a life-limiting condition? Why didn't I choose to go on holiday somewhere else or some other time? Why her and not me? Many years ago, when I was a parish priest, I was asked to take the funeral of the 3-year-old child who'd fallen off a balcony. The child's mother had been nearby, but had been distracted for a moment. She'd not seen her child's dangerous exploration. Inevitably, she blamed herself. Perhaps that's understandable, but it's also unreasonable. Plenty of parents have been distracted for a moment from watching an exploring child without such an unhappy result. It's not necessary. It's not helpful to blame ourselves. But we do want to understand. We do want to know the answer to the question why. We want an explanation. So it's tempting to put it all down to fate, to say it was fated to happen. It was in the stars. The day of your death is set and nothing can withstand the fates or the stars. I don't believe in lucky stars or unlucky stars or fate. Nothing in life is inevitable except that one day we shall all die. But it's not fate that decides. So is the answer that it was an act of God? God decided this day and not that, this one and not that? I can't believe that either. God's plan is for life and love, not for sin and death. There's an ancient story in the Bible that people told one another many centuries ago. Its purpose was to explain the presence of sin and death. They were sure that death had not been willed by God. God had made a beautiful world for people to live in. They could have lived in peace and plenty, in harmony with one another and with God forever. That's what God wanted. But somehow men and women had other ideas. They disobeyed God. And soon, brother was killing brother out of bitter rivalry. For over 1,000 years, Christians have been gathering every year in this place to celebrate Easter, as we did 2.5 weeks ago. On Good Friday, we commemorated the death on a cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The death he suffered was as real as any other death. Jesus even pleaded with his Father to avoid death. He was arrested. He was mocked. He was falsely tried. He was whipped. He was crowned with thorns. He was made to carry his cross. He died in agony. In the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself shared the pain and suffering at its most acute. God experienced what it's like to lose a loved one. God knows and understands suffering and death in the most tragic circumstances. And God can and does bring new life and new hope. On Easter Day, we celebrated the fact that God had defeated death, raising his Son Jesus Christ to new life. And his promise for all is the gift of eternal life, new life beyond death, a life of light and peace with God. You see, people have to choose. And we have the freedom to choose. Some will choose to follow the way of light and peace. Tragically, others will follow the way of darkness and destruction. Our prayer today, as we give thanks for the lives and grieve for the deaths, is for the defeat of darkness and destruction, and that light and peace may have the victory.